Good evening, Zimbabwe. You are listening to Studio 7 from the Voice of America on Friday, October 5th, 2018. And this is Live Talk. I am Kip Stube.
And I'm Blessing Zulu.
Tonight on Live Talk, we are talking about some top issues as we come to the end of this week.
To join our discussion, phone us directly at 001-202-619-2077 and we'll call you right back.
Live Talk goes out to Zimbabwe on our 909 meter wave frequency and on the 4930-6080 and 15460 kilohertz shortwave Monday through Friday at 8 p.m.
And on the internet, you can find us on www.voazimbabwe.com, www.voaindebele.com, and www.voashona.com.
And welcome to our Friday edition of Live Talk, in which we discuss various issues facing Zimbabwe.
Zimbabweans are facing serious shortages of commodities like bread, fuel, beer, and others. People are also furious about what is going on in the country a few months after President Emmerson Mnangagwa won the July 30th presidential election.
And some lucky people are getting food from ZANU-PF as a big thank you for voting for the ruling party in Harare, even if it beat the dust in the city.
Well,
ZANU-PF.
While the country is facing critical shortages of commodities, Finance Minister Professor Mthuli Ncube announced that Zimbabwe's intermediated electronic monetary transfer tax had been increased from 5 cents per transaction to 2 cents for any transaction amount up to a dollar. This has infuriated Zimbabweans who are saying the government has no clue on fixing the ailing economy. Professor Ncube today also increased the nominal fee.
Budget deficit designated expansion of the domestic debt from a level of something like 275.8 million in 2012 to the current levels of 9.5 billion. This is domestic debt. Foreign debt is currently sitting at 7.4 billion.
And corruption appears to be a big problem in Zimbabwe as top officials of the Zimbabwe Electricity Distribution Company were arrested this week over so-called shady deals centering on purchasing of power transmitters in India. Justice may be on the way, as Chief Justice Luke Malaba says. The courts should play a key role in nipping corruption in the bud.
We maintain the stance, and I repeat, we maintain the stance that the cases of corruption must be dealt with decisively by the courts. I make this very clear to all of us, whether lawyers, judges, magistrates, that is our duty. To deal decisively with cases of corruption. For the judiciary to play the central role in combating corruption, its members must be beyond reproach in the execution of their duties. We, on our part, have embarked program of continuous judicial education and training to inculcate into judicial officers the necessary values for fighting corruption.
That there is the Justice Luke Malaba, the Chief Justice. And what's your take on shortages of basic commodities and increase in electronic money transfer tax and Zimbabwe's economy that appears to have stagnated? Will all this be fixed in a country with a high corruption index?
Ibambe sulukandaba nje ukuthi okwedula emhlanga lwesihlanu lapho sikhuluma khona ngezinto eziningi kakhulu. Kodwa kokuqala sizokhuluma ukuthi kulento eziningi ezingana sitholakali ezidolo lapho sikhuluma ngesinkwa, sikhuluma njalo la nge amafutha emotor blessing ungana wakho ifuel. Ngani yahluba kakhulu. Kodwa sizokunjalo sokuthiwa ke le beer la uyakhathaza kakhulu. Kuzobuya ke umnotho welizwe leZimbabwe umthuli Ncube ke ongoyobambe umnotho uthi hayi umnotho weZimbabwe ungani umkhulu kakhulu uyi $25.8 billion kule $18 billion le ayinakanelayo. So uphinde njalo wabamba kuningi ngakhona kwe electronic money transfer, kambe lithini ngakho konke lokhu, njalo umnotho welizwe ungathuthuka yini kumbe hatshi kunjalo futhi.
Wongoka hama wadiwa nasi tila kuti tinge tichitarisa mamiro akaita zvinhu munyaya dzezveupfumi. Makasununguka kuti mutifonere chero kwamuri kunharaunda dzenyu muchitudza kuti zvinhu zvakamira sei, chingwa chiri kuwanikwa here, nezvimwe zvekudya, mafuta ekufambisa dzimotokari, nezvimwe. Tirawo kunzwawo kuti muri kuonawo sei mashoko ari kutaurwa panyaya yekuwedzera mutero negurukota rezvemari muzvinafundo muTuli Ncube. Chirongwa ndechenyu imi vateereri, ngati kurukurei tinzwe kuti zvinhu zvakamira sei. Gibbs.
Yes, physically chero kuti ke ku live talk lapha siya live streamer ku VOA Studio 7. So ke lingena kona boke siyazama kuti sifake la kona kwesilako i link yetu sizayifake ku VOA Ndebele la ku VOA Shona. So ke kumele sikhulumeni sizwe ukuthi udaba lolu luyangapha lomnotho welizwe eZimbabwe. Siyabona ukungazani umthuli Ncube uthi hayi umkhulu sibili, kodwa abanye abantu bathi hayi phela lapho besengezimithiyo. Kuzobuya ke lokunye okuningi esikhuluma ngakho khonapha, khona ukuthi lapha likhona liyayithola yini amafutha ezimota kumbe liwatholi. Abanye abantu bakhala sibili bathi amafutha ezimota akatholakali. So sifuna ukuzwa ngani-ke ukuthi kuhamba njani. Silabo ke obaba besibacelele ukuthi bangene namhlanje, simeleleke ukuzwa umnumzana Tendai Biti. Kuzobuya ke umnumzana Gilbert Muponda laye siyamcela ukuthi abuye. Nxa likhona ngapho ke abafonene angangeni, cala lwavule. Lawo ke baba busisa moyo khona ngapho, cala lwavule amafoni enu uze sisixhume kunjalo pleasant.
Honguka hama wadiwa tuda kuyedza kuti tinge tichibata vatendai Biti veMDC vaimbovawo gurukota rezvekupfumi kuti tinzwe pfungwa dzavo, pamwe chete navaGilbert Muponda vanova muzvina bhizimisi uye vakakwikwidza musarudzo dzedare paramende ku Warren Park uko vakamirira bato reZANU PF. Tinodawo kunzwa kune vaimbotungamira bato revemabhizimisi kana kuti sangano revemabhizimisi CZI, Confederation of Zimbabwe Industries, vabusisa Ncube. Hongu, nhare dziri kutinetse asi tichaedza kuramba tichivabata. But of course, Gibbs, there is a statement from Professor Ncube seeking to clarify his 2 cents tax. He wrote today that the 2 cents per dollar tax will apply to transactions of $10 and above only. Transactions below $10 will be exempt from this tax. Mm-hmm. And he further says there is a cap of $10,000 on the amount of tax to be paid. This implies that transfers above $500,000 will attract a flat tax of $10,000. Mm-hmm. So I think they are trying to lure investors there who were worried that should they bring their money into the country, it will be eroded before they've even started any meaningful investment. So he's clarifying, and some people were saying that if I have $2, I can't even buy bread.
That's right.
Because, you know, it becomes a bit problematic, but he's saying that any amounts below $10, they will not attract these 2 cents tax. So he's seeking to maybe clarify, but this follows an outcry from Zimbabweans that this is just too much. You know, they are already struggling, and this only increases the burden on the consumers.
What is interesting is how Zimbabweans on social media are actually calculating the amounts. You know, if they start adding and subtracting and doing all those things, they'll come out with certain figures. And I think the baseline was 1,000, in which they were saying, if I have $1,000 and I'm transferring the money to a school, which means I'll lose $20, so I wanted to put some more. So anyway, I think we have got our first guest, and that is Mr. Gilbert Mponda. You may welcome him, please. Mr. Mponda is on the line, I'm
talking. Yes. Mr. Mponda.
Good evening, Blessing. How are you?
I'm doing great, and thanks for joining us.
Thank you. It's my pleasure, as always.
Now, Mr. Mponda, what is your take on this clarification by the finance minister that, for example, the 2 cents per dollar will not apply on transactions of $10 and below, and also that there will be a flat tax of only 10,000 for anything above 500,000?
Well, I think it's a welcome move because obviously it had caused some panic, you know, and people were not so sure how it will affect everyday life. Because obviously, if you are buying some vegetables or some bread and kind of milk and things like that, you are going to be charged some of this. So, if it's for any amount that's below $10, that's a very welcome development because now we're moving towards a cashless society. So, it means for everyday use, you know, the small things that you normally buy, you wouldn't have to pay it. And also the tagging at the top to tap it off at 10,000, it's very welcome because obviously investors say who bring maybe $1 million and you are moving between accounts, even between your own companies, then you're going to attract an unwanted tax, basically for just bringing money in and around. So I think that clarification is very welcome and it helps to bring confidence and just clarification. As explained earlier, I think the move should have been maybe done at the same time when the policy was announced. But obviously, there is a time lag between when policy was announced and how people take it and how the market digests it and how it's interpreted. So I think the minister has done well to come up with a follow-on explanation to just clarify, because it was obviously all over social media on WhatsApp or Facebook where people, everyone is becoming a financial expert and a tax expert, and they are just interpreting it anyhow. So this explanation is very welcome, and I think the minister has done well.
Thank you so much for those of you who are just joining us. That there was Mr. Gilbert Mponda. He is an entrepreneur and investment banker. He also contested in the parliamentary elections representing ZANU-PF in Warren Park. Now we are being joined by former president of the Confederation of Zimbabwe Industries, Mr. Busisa Moyo. Mr. Moyo, good evening.
Good evening, sir.
Thank you so much for joining us. Gibbs, you can fire away.
Yes, Mr. Moyo, let's start with the intermediated money transfer tax. As we are hearing right now, Mr. Mthuli Ncube is saying that instead of having 2 cents per every dollar transacted, now it's going to have some kind of limits, like $10 and above and below maybe a certain other figure. So now what is your take on that, first of all? Then you can tell us about shortages of commodities.
Well, I think the minister has come out to clarify. A lot of speculation has started going around. And when a policy is announced, people then sit to reflect and to review. We take out our calculators, we take out our Excel spreadsheets, and we start to run the numbers of the impact of what has been announced. And this is what we've been doing. And of course, the amount that would have taken out of the system in 1 year was a frightening amount. But we are glad that the minister has come out this evening or late today to clarify that there are caps. It will reduce the impact somewhat. He has put a cap of 10,000 per transfer. It is still a bit painful, but we have been warned that in order to correct the economy, there is going to be some pain that we're going to have to take to fix the economy. But, you know, I think as private sector, what we are saying is let's come up with a comprehensive plan and let's see what government is going to do on its side. So that is a give and take. You know, it's not just more revenue from private sector, but it's also austerity. Let's see government. I mean, it's been said that there will be austerity, but this one is going to start hitting us from tomorrow or from the next day. So let's also see that pain being taken equally on both sides. This is why we have called as private sector, say, let's have a social contract that holds us together, that binds us into a framework, so that if we're giving more taxes, if we're giving up more costs, we are also seeing government making the environment more efficient, and we hold each other to account. Because to come and bite one side and to act on one side without a comprehensive plan is dangerous and can lead to maybe emotions and tensions rising high. So we are very glad that the Minister of Finance, the listening minister, because we have written him letters as CZI and as business member organizations to express in the last couple of hours some of the concerns we have with what had been, what was doing the rounds, or what had come up in his Section 36 and 37 of his fiscal measures document.
Thank you so much, Mr. Moyo. Please do stay on the line. And now we are being joined by economic analyst, Mr. Rejoice Ngwenya. Mr. Ngwenya, good evening.
Good evening, gentlemen.
Thank you so much. Now, Mr. Ngwenya, you heard what Mr. Busisa Moyo was talking about, the austerity measures. He's saying that government must also cut on expenditure. What is your take on that?
Well, I mean, it makes a lot of sense, really, that when a government is talking about austerity, you know, it must be referring to itself. Because remember, gentlemen, it has been repeated over and over again that the biggest challenge that this government has is fiscal indiscipline. It's not Zimbabwean citizens who go and buy cars for chiefs or fly ex-presidents in private jets or buy parliamentary cars, or, you know, it's a few individuals who are running this government. So when you're talking about a budget deficit, when you're talking about an external debt, when you're talking about a domestic debt, it's not you and me who is incurring that debt. It is the government. So any austerity measure that is meant to enhance the capacity of this country to regenerate itself and rebuild itself must be purely focused on government. All that corruption, that institutionalized corruption, gentlemen, is something. Why are we supposed to be feeling pain? It is them that are in government that promise that they are going to correct the things that should be feeling pain. They should be driving, Datsun 120Y is going to work. They shouldn't be driving, Mercedes Benz and Rolls Royces. So, Mpilinube is now punishing us. We are supposed to be paying the debt that was incurred by the Mugabe and the Gono regime, and it's totally unfair. This is why we're struggling today even to get petrol, because this government is not prepared to be austere. So I'll be watching Mr. Busisa's Twitter page to see how far this government is living according to its gusto.
Thank you so much, Gibbs.
Yeah, ngasikhangela baba Ngwenya, siyabona ukuthi umnumzana Mthuli Ncube uphinde wakhuluma lamhlanje ukuthi umnotho weZimbabwe ungani uphakeme sibili lwesisindo esiphezulu. Lapho ukhuluma nge $25.8 billion yomnotho welizwe. Bungazani abanye bathi u-$18 billion ababephinda bethu phansi kakhulu isisindo sawo. So lapha sikhuluma nge-GDP yayo. So ke wena ngokubona kwakho ukhuluma iqiniso lapha kumbe kusengezimithiyo ubaba Ncube?
Kanti nxa esitsho njalo, uyabona ukuthi na yena isithi i-economy yethu i-rebased from 1829. So we fana phela lo muntu musothi nxa ethengisa imota and GDP isbedomilokhana kwama-kilometers lokhana athi from 300,000 kanti si 60,000. Yi-theory yona le thina nxa sikhuluma nge-productivity economy, asikhulume nge-potential esilayo ukuthi impahla esizilungisa lapha zizathengiswa ngaphandle kwelizwe na. I-capacity utilization ezakwenza ukuthi ama-exports impahla eziye ngaphandle kwelizwe, i-value addition izakwenzeka njani kungela capitalization, ngoba yoba yena umsebenzi uyamsupporta ukuthi yena i-revenue yakhona iyasetshenziswa ukulungisisa ama-sector ethu. Kufuna kudingakala imitshina emitsha, ngoba nxa lapho thina sibhizi sidinga nale mitshina, amazwe esincintisana nawo baye besimelele yini majiti? Abasimelelanga.
Kodwa phela yena uphinde wakhuluma
ngalokhubona baye sebephambili isebela ama-economies of scale, sebekwanisa ukuthengisa impahla ethizilungisa thina sezijiphile. So amanombolo abakhuluma ngabo emabhukwini labo ye-T Pina le potential ye $50 billion economy. Iko wakwe kuna ye FDC tina le potential ye $100 billion economy. Yoba yenu Ken Mafuki wakuma hako 5 years ago. Kodwa ama policies yetu lobudlelwano bethu la ngaphandle kwelizwe akubasivumezi ukuthi sikhe sidinge izimali ezingasincedisa first of all ukubhadala i-external debt yethu, okwesibili ukuthenga imitshina engasinza silungise impahla ezidingisekayo.
Ye, uthi phela babengafakanga phela udaba lolu lokuthi kule informal trading phela layo xa suyibala khonapho-ke kumedinga kukhona phakathi.
Lalelani phela lizuthi informal trading abakhuluma ngayo le abantu abathengisa izimpahla ezivela eChina dollar for 10, abantu abathengisa ama-onion avela eSouth Africa, abantu abathengisa ama-plastic lana angamaridio lana emsikeni, yi-informal intermediate labana abakhande imigqomo leyana amaphostoli amana i-informal sector enjalo ingagenerate i-revenue enjani. Thina even i-tax base yakhona singayazi ukuthi ihamba kanjani. So bengabakhulumisi abangazazi i-informal economy yethu is not a productive economy, it's a consumptive economy, and consumption does not produce, it only consumes, especially when you are using foreign currency ukungenisa izimpahla zakhona.
So what Mr. Mgwenya is saying here, blessings, that what Mr. Mthuli Ncube did in rebasing Zimbabwe's domestic GDP from 18 billion to 25.8 billion is just a fallacy. He says, you know, including informal traders, it's just like you're telling people that you don't know what you're talking about. So at the end of the day, he says the economy is just small, very small, in the sense that it doesn't have a lot of production that it is generating. So he says, what Mr. Ncube is doing, maybe he doesn't understand certain things in Zimbabwe.
Vamponda munowirirana here nezviri kutaurwa navangwenya izvi?
Part of nhakutaura ndizvozvo, but pane pamwe patinofananyatsotarisa kuti nyika yedu iri in a situation that is accumulating over many years. Saka kuti tizvikorekte, it might take a bit of time. I understand vanhu vari kurwadziwa because they pain involved and things like that, but really what the minister is doing is to come up with several steps that slowly address the situation, and I'm sure you present a budget next month that also capture some of what he's saying and the new ideas in terms of increasing the productivity of the country. I agree in terms of we cannot really look at informal sector in Zimbabwe and take it very seriously, because a lot of it is just trading. Apana value chain equity, apana manufacturing, and expertise ringing with Shanda. Just like my money changers, you know, that kind of thing. You put him on apana effort, yaisa, apana value chain, yaisa, but I know expert of Kumba, Oenda Kubasa, Ozoka, and Mari, with a profit from that, things like that. So we need to have a proper policy, especially on SME, to see how they can be supported in terms of accessing capital and accessing new equipment, skills, markets, and things like that. Then in terms of even our own production in the country, we've got things like tobacco. Last year, we produced the record tobacco crop, which was 250 million or thereabouts, which was the highest since 1999, since even Zimbabwe became a country. So we need to now add value to that tobacco rather than just exporting this tobacco to China as the tobacco bales. We need to maybe process them into cigarettes and then process that cigarette and brand it and then sell it as an export, which will earn much more because obviously it's going to earn 10 times more than the raw product. So if we are exporting tobacco worth $1 billion right now in its raw form, once it's processed into cigarettes, it's probably worth $12 billion. Those are things we need to be focusing. Some of the chrome we're exporting raw chrome, and some of it is ore, which should be processed into the final product or closer to the final product. And the value multiplies maybe by 10 to 20 times, even the platinum, the gold. You know, there are several things that we are not really adding value to. But I'm not so sure that the minister hasn't already captured that in his statement that is coming up. So I'm confident that the minister is discovered, but he's just taking steps one by one to make sure that he creates the right environment to put some of his plans into action. As you are aware, there are some imbalances in the forex market where there's shortage of foreign currency and things like that, and we really need to push on exports. As it is, we're importing some of the things that we don't really need to be importing. We're importing yogurt, we're importing cheese, we're importing Thames water and some chocolate and things like that.
Mm.
Some of the things that we can actually manufacture here in Zimbabwe because of some of the best, you know, milk and things like that. But we're not doing that because the policy is not so clear in terms of import substitution, mm. in terms of growing our production base, in terms of targeting those things that we could actually be making in Zimbabwe and then exporting to reduce our import bill. Because our import bill is the one that is really causing some of this cash flow crisis because we're not generating as much as we are importing. So for that imbalance between the imports and the exports. And that has to be addressed by improving our productivity, our efficiency, and the value for exports. I mean, there's really nothing difficult to achieve a $100 billion economy, given what we have as a country in terms of, say, if you look at diamonds, gold, platinum, and things like that. The problem is that we're exporting it in raw form, and we're really not doing much in terms of value addition. I think we've made much of lip service, talking about beneficiation, but in terms of execution and implementation. So I'm hopeful that the president, with the new dispensation, there is going to be serious action taken in terms of executing, in terms of beneficiation, so that we see these things we are exporting in raw forms, because we're also exporting jobs. We're not just exporting the raw tobacco. We're not just exporting the raw chrome. We're also exporting these jobs, because these people are going to be employed elsewhere in the process of value adding. We need to look at that in terms of that. Then our SME policy needs to be very clear in terms of what we're trying to achieve out of it and what are we classifying as an SME. Because there's this over, you know, a loose translation where everyone who's doing something is called as an SME. But as a police, we need to classify what qualifies as an SME and what type of help they can get, what type of assistance, what type of incentive, what type of tax breaks you can get as an SME. Which will avoid some of the problems that we've seen where the minister is charging tax because basically there's no one who's registered to retain tax. So it's basically taxing everyone who's moving money because no one, even those in business, they're not registered, they're not captured anywhere, they're not regularized, they're not recognized anywhere, but they're in business. So some of those things in terms of SME, we need a clear policy because we can't grow from big companies only or just looking for FDI when the
companies
are not doing much in terms of own companies.
Thank you so much, Mr. Mponda. Please do stay on the line. For those of you who are just joining us, a good evening. We are talking about the state of the economy. Unfortunately, we are having problems reaching Mr. Tendai Biti, the former finance minister, and also Mr. Busisa Moyo. He just had a brief cameo. Unfortunately, now we can't get him. The phones are a bit problematic. But I think we are in the capable hands of Mr. Gilbert Mponda, an entrepreneur himself, and also economic analyst, Mr. Rejoice Ngwenya. Tinenge tine mutereri, Gibbs.
Mm-hmm. Slow by.
Anzi mkoma die, gwere kala nsiru kanganisa. Ndiyani mutereri uyo kutanga?
Nzizo chaizo, nzimi mkoma diogo.
Oh, magadi zenyu.
Zinofara hangu magadi weni rakadi basaredu.
Aiwa, ndizo zoze mtoa kumuaka oma kumwe mnyoro.
Ya, zineke zirinani abiedu mine kumudo kuto nore ya kuno kutapsa nayo na amune zuwa zese.
Murukuona se mamiru akaita zinu mkoma wangu.
Baba, mamiru akaita zina, zina kumomira zakanaka. Nakubaga kuti mimi makambozona ukupi kuti mimi mafukura chimereni makuti kuda kubata shiri moto ya urimo nilimotuma munhu kutenda anoridza chigaba ipapo shiri dzinga marere pa urimo ipapo
apa mari shiri apa
saka nyaya iriko ndiyo kuti isusu kuti tikupiwane upfumi wakanaka kuti tigare zvakanaka munyika vanhu vatiri kukokera kana kuti kukokerwa nehurumende kuti vazoita mabasa muno mazvigoneke kukwidza mutero sezvakaitika saizvozvo zvine neanoona nezvemafinance ava hazvigoneke zvinhu zvakadaro nokuti izvozvi so zvakadavangari vamwana yamboedza kugarawo pasi navamwe vanhu onzwawo zvinotaurwa navamwe vanhu kuti ko nyaya dzakadai tingazvifambisawo sei chii chatingaiti kuti nyika yedu ibudirire mune zvakanaka munyika muno takapfuma chaizvo but hatigone kufambisa nyika upfumi wedu mune zvakanaka pa hatinawo muno munyika tiri kuita kunge tiri varombo but upfumi tinawo
saka muri kuti zviri kukonzerwa nenyaya yekusanyatsotaurirana kuti nyika yotora gwara ripi
yes nekuti wamhare pfungwa dzokuti nyika ifambe zvakanaka but ndaikomanda uri kutonga nedemo kuti inzwa inini nokuti inini ndiri ndakaenda kuhondo but hazvibatsire zvinhu zvekuhondo zvakapfuura zvakapfuura nenguva yezvino iye zvino nyika yekudi kuti tirame mune zvakanaka asi kana vava kutonga nechisimbo chokuti ndisu takaenda kuhondo inzwa isusu hakuna chinobudirira hakuna chinobuda.
Mhm. Aiwa tinotenda zvikuru mukoma wangu nekupinda muchirongwa chedu.
Ndinotenda hangu maita basa asi nyaya iko ndauki ishungu idzokuda kutaura kuti ngauti iva vanhu vadaongedza kugara pasi nevamwe vanhu achinzwa zvinotaurwa nevamwe vanhu hazvina basa kuti mubika akaita sei asi munhu kodzisa pfuma uringi pfungwa dzako shandisa pfungwa dzirikushanda panguva ukadzishora idzodzo zvakazvina zvazvinobudirira.
Aiwa panzwisisika mukoma wangu.
Ndinotenda hangu maita basa murambichimburifonerawo frizi wedu wese atagarisa kuno.
Aiwa chirongwa ndechenyu tinoramba tichikufonerai. Tinotenda zvikuru. That's our first caller there, Gibbs. Mkoma Diego is saying that things are really bad in Zimbabwe and he's saying that the only solution is dialogue. So he's saying that, you know, people should say we are all veterans and therefore we don't take ideas from others. He said it's now a time for people to sit down and talk because Zimbabwe has got all the resources. Unfortunately, they are not being utilized to benefit the country. Only a few individuals are benefiting. Gibbs.
So, Mr. Rejoice Ngwenya, does it mean that Zimbabwe is back to 2008 and 2009? No bread in the shelves, fuel shortages, all these kind of things. So, what is happening, really?
Well, I wouldn't really say that the calamitous era of 2078 is back, because we are slightly more sophisticated in the way that we understand our challenges. Mm-hmm. But the sectors that caused problems in 2008, the lack of foreign currency, bad governance and all that, could be reimagined if the current government remains in a permanent state of denial, because denialism is very bad. I mean, if you are going to be getting fuel queues that are 2 kilometers long, this is exactly what was happening. This inflationary pressure, which is being put on domestic prices by the premiums charged on US dollars, are exactly the same. Mm-hmm. The only difference is that the commodities are there, but they are unaffordable. So, really, I think we really, Zimbabweans, we are taking it real personally that Edi Mnangagwa and this government, promised people that after, taking over from Mugabe, things would be okay. Let's cut out all this nonsense, gentlemen, that we need to die before we resurrect in this economy. We need a good life. We have been oppressed for 37 years. There is absolutely no excuse, no reason why we should be suffering just because we are going through a transition. These guys are in government because they say they can solve the problem. If they cannot solve the problem, they can just hand over this government to MDC. We don't have a time. I'm not going to be queuing again, gentlemen, for 6 hours for petrol. It's impossible. We are moving ahead. If they are failing to reconcile the factors, of production and, generating foreign currency, they should just give up the government. We cannot live for false promises for the next 5 years. It's unacceptable. It's not right, and it's criminal.
Mr. Mponda, your reaction to that, is there no crisis of expectation as well in that people want results as of yesterday, but this damage has been going on for quite some time, for decades?
The crisis of expectation, because what has happened is that people immediately expect that things should be okay, within hours, that now there's a new government, therefore things should change. But I would want to take you back to some of the things that you have seen over the last, say, let's put it, 8 months. We have seen the president reaching out to the international community. We've seen the president reaching out to the Commonwealth, reaching out to the Western powers, reaching out to basically everyone. Because some of the crises that we've been facing over the years is basically because Zimbabwe has been isolated for a very long time and has been cut off from the global financial system. And no economy grows on its own or grow on cash. You need to be accessing the international global financial system, whether you get lines of credit, you get international banks funding you, letters of credit, guarantees and syndicated facilities, instruments of finance that are supposed to help an economy develop in a modern time. These things Zimbabwe has been denied of for the last almost 20 years. And the president has gone on to really re-engage the international community. You have seen how he was in New York, and he was really talking to everyone who would listen. He was in Switzerland, in Davos, to normalize things. Well, as a starting point, that's what we need to do. We need to know that Zimbabwe has always operated on a deficit in terms of foreign currency over the last, I think, even 30 years. Zimbabwe has never actually generated enough foreign currency of its own. So we've always had balance of payment support from the IMF, the World Bank, and such international institutions. And that was cut off with the advent of sanctions and things like that. So it's unfortunate that we have people saying the MDC should be given a chance to do this or that. But part of the problem is the MDC's attitude to the current situation that we are facing, in which they will participate in creating. Because cutting off the country from the international system, the financial system, the MDC was also advocating for that through the sanctions and things like that, where they were just peddling, you know, information in such that there is difficulties within the country, and they would get sympathy from the people and they would get votes and things like that. We need to make sure that we move away from that type of behavior as a nation. We have seen the president putting and stretching his hand, trying to reach out to Nelson Chamisa, trying to reach out to the MDC alliance and say, look, we are going to recognize you as the official opposition and give you a recognized position in government and in parliament, whereby you can come up with your alternative policy and you can table it after I table my policy. And that move is ultimate level of reaching out to make sure that we are listening to everyone. Who's the president has said is a listening president, and it's proven it, that if he's willing to talk to his adversary in the elections, he says he has won the election, and he has won the election, and the guy who has lost the election, confirmed by the court, is being reached out and saying, look, let's talk and let's sit and see what are you saying, what are you proposing. For that to happen, I am proposing to adopt an internationally accepted formula, which is what the Commonwealth does, whereby every opposition leader who's the, you know, the closest loser of the election or the contest is given a recognized position, such that whatever they say, they get national coverage. Whatever they propose as alternative, people can now assess and say, look, this guy has got a better policy. And the MDC is spanning those offers. And before that, we had Tendai Biti and Nelson Chamisa himself traveling to New York and to Washington to tell the Trump administration that, look, keep sanctions on until we get into power. When you have such
Mr. Mponda.
Mr. Mponda,
I don't think it's accurate to say that the Trump administration would listen to Mr. Biti and Mr. Chamisa about sanctions. I think that is up to the U.S. Congress, and they've made it clear. For example, you heard Mr. Trump at one time saying that he did not want certain sanctions to be imposed on Russia, but the Congress and Senate overruled him. So I don't think it's quite accurate.
What you need to look at is that if the Zimbabweans are united together and say, look, down with sanctions, we don't want sanctions on our country, it's a different message. You are giving them ammunition. You are giving them moral support.
Some might say you might talk about unity and all that stuff, but you had members of the army gunning down civilians in the capital.
Blessing, I think we have a commission, an internationally recognized commission that has been appointed by the president himself.
Those are the things that lead to sanctions, isn't it?
And give us recommendations of actions to follow. So there's no need for us to look at it as if the president was condoning what happened. The president condemned it. It was a loss of life, which was unnecessary. Again, if you look at what happened there, you had the MDC encouraging people to go into the streets and announcing results. And
is that right?
A dangerous situation. We do not want people who just create a situation because they want to get into power. What you want to do is you want to preserve Zimbabwe, because it's Zimbabwe you want to rule at the end of the day. So what is Zimbabwe going to rule when it's destroyed? You want people who understand that if you want to be a president of Zimbabwe, Zimbabwe itself should be in good shape, rather than to say, look, if I'm not ruling, therefore the country should bend down. That approach is dangerous, and it's not good for anyone. I've never heard an American who goes into a foreign soil and call for sanctions on their own country. Even that country doesn't listen to you. You've never heard an opposing leader of Britain.
Okay, let's bring in Mr. Ngwenya. He wants to comment on that.
It's so strange
Mr. Mponda.
This type of behavior happening. So this type of behavior, I don't want to spend too much time on it, but I just think the opposition needs to take time and reflect on it.
Mr. Ngwenya, can you come in on that?
Yeah, you know, when he mentions very clearly that, you know, Zimbabwe has always been in a permanent state of foreign currency deficit. But do you know that we are told that there are about $6 to $15 billion worth of diamonds that were spirited out of this country. So when you measure the net worth of our national endowment, between 1985 and now, we should have been way ahead of Singapore. And the MDC was not in power. And I don't understand why you could be blaming MDC for a policy that is directed at specific individuals and the behavior of the government itself. It was not, this government has not been showing that it is interested in maintaining human rights, the dignity of human rights. So what the international community has been doing is simply been responding to what the government is saying. And this is the government that has been in power for 37 years, and I don't think it's very fair really to be pointing guns at MDC or the opposition to say, if the opposition had not done this. The opposition is simply highlighting the sectors that are related to human rights violations.
So I think we need to be a bit sensible
on that.
Okay, let's bring a caller. Tinemwe Mtereri. Maagadi yenyu.
Ripo maagadi.
Aiwa, tiripo tipeo fungwa zenyu. Ndiimko mana?
Victor, ndirikusa na li kufila busi, Matebelen South.
Oh, kwa kadi kufila busi.
Yeah.
Yeah, mfoi, tukunja?
Nyapi da nija, baba.
Nyapi, lungapuwe fila busi kura.
Nise sana, alika nyema shoku.
Oh, kuja, nesan?
Right.
Yeah, I would do an auto a little volunteer for it.
We are among our daughter, Trump. I'm a sanction, individual people. Not the whole country. But remember, in the man, Alisa, Baba, Minanina, and so.
If you want to see Kilis and Vichan,
whereas Mugabe was going to come out to say, why isn't the Zikwela? But these guys are just quiet. Moreover, so they started $2 per dollar for every transaction as he ends in this card. What is that?
Yes, I was a cool game. All
right, Siabonga.
So what this gentleman is saying is that the government is not taking action on price in the increase of prices. So he says, for example, fuel has gone up, and Mr. Mnangagwa's government is quiet. And if I can say is that if it was Mr. Mugabe, by now we'd have come out to say, you know, prices are, you know, killing us or that kind of a thing. So he says, but Mr. Mnangagwa is very quiet and is worried about that.
Mr. Mponda, your take on price increases?
Well, the price increases, obviously there's some pressure on the prices where you've seen that the parallel market rate and the premium is going up, and that is going on to affect the prices because some of the inputs are imported and things like that. Then you also have speculative tendencies where people are just speculating that, you know, the worst expectation theory, where people are expecting the worst, therefore they are holding things. And some are just waiting for the price to rise so that they can stay at a higher price, things like that. So there's some action that is needed to be taken on that front. I agree that there's need to just assure the market that there's no shortage. Like what happened in the cement market, where the three biggest manufacturers came out and said, look, the cement shortage is not really out of malice or anything. It's because there was a coincidence where the production machines would go for servicing and the annual maintenance. And also you could increase the building activity. So that was a good measure, which other sectors ought to take lead and assure their customers and assure. I don't really think it should be an issue for the president to be going about and making press statements about prices. I think that trend is dangerous because then that will somehow end up with price controls, which are bad for the economy, bad for our country. So I think what we need is, unfortunately, we've lost the gentleman from the CZ, the manufacturers themselves and the retailers themselves should come out and explain what is the basis of the price increase, and if they are justified, then see how they can cushion their customers. But if we then ask the president every time that the price increase, he should come and address the people in the nation, I think he'll be overdoing things. He has given the finance minister the mandate to handle the economy, and the minister is doing what he can, and also the governor is doing his part. So that and he has to be given time to work, because we cannot expect this to be an event. It's going to be a process. These are reforms, because with some entrenched structures that needs time to really be disentangled. So I think what is happening right now is being addressed, because you've seen the minister, I think, in the last 4 or 5 days, he's been out twice taking measures. And as I'm speaking right now, I'm sure he's finalizing his budget statement, which will address some of these things that are happening. So we wanted to make sure that happens in that way. We don't say the president every time should come and say things about the economy. I think that model is very dangerous.
Thank you.
The president should focus on creating a conducive environment.
Thank you so much, Mr. Mponda Gibbs.
Yes, so I'm talking slow about Osbanda. Osbanda, unjani? Mr. Osbanda, how are you?
Hello, Magadi.
Diribo, Magadi.
Diribo.
Right, Osbanda, muri kuona sei mamiriro akaita zvinhu munyatsi zvehupfumi?
Chokutanga ndechekuti maZimbabwe ndaifundirani. Pano mweya wedivizhini mukuru chaizvo wekuti vamaoni zvakanaka, vamaoni zvakashata. Patiri kunyanya kubatikana kune vamachecha. Vanomanikidza chamisa kuti abvume kutaura navo munangagwa. Mambonzwa here kuti maZimbabwe tinodei chaizvo. Iva uda kuya pfungwa dzavo. And pana kola vapedza kumutaura, vapedza kutaura paiti opposition inogara kanganisa nyika. Handizivi kuti mabhizinesi ari muZimbabwe ndeemudhisi chete here kana kuti vanhu vanoti vane akawanda. Aopavona. Saka ngatifambirai pamwe chete, uye kana election yakabiridzibwa, yakatobiridzibwa, ngatiogadzisa kutanga ipapo. Zvinhu makurira zvekuti hazimbonakidzisa chose. Ndaiva mutaundi nezvino ini fuel inonetsa malaini acho akamuka akatanga pasa chaiko. Saka haiwa hatisambopfuurira nanhema, ngati kufungirai nai pamwe chete tigaze nyika yedu ndezimba kuti maZimbabwe yetose izvo.
Aiwa tinotenda zvikuru vaSibanda nekupinda muchirongwa chedu.
Maita basa inguva ndiyangoita shomana ndefungushaisa kuda kutaura asi ndiyatiperesa.
Hai, hatifambe. Manga muchida kuwedzera kuti kudii?
Ndaivangotini pana vataura vamunokoka uka handizivi kuti dzidzo dzavo dzinge dzei dzakaita sei, nokuti vamwe vataura vanotaridza kuti nyaya dzezoupfumi idzi kaidzi saminista vakapinda handioni sekuti vanokwanisa nyika inorema.
Asi vachangopinda kavasi banda mungati vangabva vagadzirisa zvinhu usiku humwe chete here?
Ungangopinda uchimutemera vanhu masangeni iwoo munotemera vanhu mautemera vanhu kumasangeni zvingaita izvozvo. Isangeni yokutanga kutora vanhu ma90 cents andati nedhola.
Haiwa tinotenda vaSibanda kungoti nharei nyiri kumboti katei katei, asi tinotenda zvikuru nekupinda muchirongwa chedu.
Maita basa, munogara muchitifonera.
Haiwa tinoramba tichikufonerai. That Gibbs is our caller. Mr. Sibanda, we saying that he thinks the problem started with what he's calling a rigged election. So he's saying let's address those issues and then the rest will follow. And he's also saying that Mr. Mponda might talk about sanctions, but he's saying that the government is also imposing sanctions on ordinary Zimbabweans by these taxes on their income.
Mbuyele futi kubaba uri Joyce Ngwenya. Siyabona kuti uMthuli Ncube as a keeping statement sakhe nzavala ngesilungu zelesese intermediated money transfer tax. Ubhale sithi ke this tax review comes into effect on the date of gazette of the relevant regulations. So loko kutsho ukuthi ke baba Rejoice Ngwenya umthetho lowo ngasozungene kuzangena ngesikhathi sokukhitshwa igazette. So kutsho ukuthi phela i-tax lay kayikaqalisa ukusebenza. So ke wena ubona zani zasebenza kumbe lapho sekulokudonselana kurhulumente?
Phela sicabanga ukuthi angitsho kaningi ama-parliamentarians ezanu-pave money into eqondane lo mthetho vele
bayakwanisa bayaphumela ukuthi bayilungisise ngoba baningi ukuthi njengomuntu ongajayelanga ezombuso owesiphangise waya phambili waqala ukuginya engakatsheli into ezihambelana lezomthetho kufanele zikhulunywe kuphalamenti bavumelane kukhabhinethi ezigazitwa ukuthi ugazita phela ukuthatha isikhathi nxa kungurhulumente obusayo ye asiqakathekise ukuthi ye uhulumende ule mvumo yokuthi adinge indlela ezokuthi ayenze umthelo thina asilankinga ngakho esiyinkinga ngakho ukuthi umthelo wakhona nxa sesihlawuliwe usetshenziswa kanjani kulobu chapa yini obukhona yikho okungasiphambanisa kodwa kwakathesi ye kufanele kwenziwe kusemthethweni.
Ye ngicela ufake ngesikhiwa khonokho-ke 1 minute.
That's true. Yes. We basically I think we have no problems with Dr. Mthini Ncube raising revenue through taxes because that is part of fiscal authority. What is a problem is to do it outside the law because ZANU-PF has got the parliamentary majority. They have enough opportunity and privilege to change the laws and things should be done properly. And when the taxes have been levied on the citizens, it is necessary that fiscal discipline comes into play. Otherwise, we have no problem with government raising revenue. We have only a problem with reckless expenditure.
Mm-hmm. Let's go to Mr. Mponda. Mr. Mponda, there is also talk about this diaspora tax. How does it work?
Well, it's not very clear yet how it's going to be implemented, but obviously, I think there is a scope to put something together like that, but obviously I don't think there will be taxation without representation.
Mm-hmm.
Because once the diaspora takes, because I've heard the diaspora's main cry is that we also want to vote and things like that.
That's very true. I think that was another issue that was raised when the president was meeting Zimbabweans in New York.
Exactly. So I think the president, as you said, is a listening president, and obviously Zimbabweans abroad deserve a voice in the country's affairs because they've been sending some money and remitting a lot of money, which has helped the country, especially in difficult times. It's the 2008-2009 situation. The diaspora kept the country going. So I'm not so sure about the formula, how it's going to be applied and things like that. It might come via the remittances and things like that. But I think within that framework, then that will also allow the diaspora to be participating in the electoral processes to see how they can vote as well and their voice be heard. So I think before overreacting, I think people should really like welcome the idea and see what is being proposed. Because the diaspora remains Zimbabwean. No matter where you go, no matter what you do, you remain a Zimbabwean if you want to remain a Zimbabwean. And because of that, you have some obligations to your country because some of the infrastructure that a lot of the people in the diaspora, I was in the diaspora, as you know, I was educated for free, and I never paid anything for my education from grade 1 to university because that was the policy then. And then I went to work elsewhere, and I was never penalized for that. So if you are in the diaspora and you really grew up in Zimbabwe and a tax is charged somehow for you to pay to keep the country going, I think it's not a bad thing. But also maybe then you should then expect a right to vote or to participate in the national affairs of the country. So I think this is really a positive development, which the diaspora is now being invited to the table and say, look, guys, we want you to pay tax, and this is how your money will be used. And then within that framework and within that discussion, that's when the diaspora should now then insist that, look, we also want to vote.
Mm-hmm.
And once things like that, we could actually come up with a very advanced system where we can have diaspora MPs, people who are getting the diaspora, but they are MPs. You could be in Washington, but you can become an MP for North America. You can create a constituent called North America, or a constituent called Europe, or a constituent called Australia or Oceania, where we have people based overseas, but they are MPs who are representing Zimbabweans who are out there. You actually come to Zimbabwean Parliament and present your constituent needs and whatever you have got. I know certain countries do that. I think if it's not Italy, it's India.
Mm-hmm.
That is something very practical, where we have Zimbabweans in the diaspora, but they are members of parliament representing Zimbabweans outside the country.
Thank you so much. Of course, that brings us to Washington, D.C. You know, it does not have any voting rights. That's why the tags on the cars or the number plates are written no taxation without representation, because Washington, D.C. is not officially recognized as a state. You know, it does not even have a senator.
As
a result, people are always complaining that we can't be taxed when we don't have any representation. Tinemwe mutereri makadi.
Ndose mamakadi wo blessing.
Aiwa istirinani, ndi mkoma na.
Ni mkoma Bernard.
Mkoma Bernard, muri kupi?
Ndi ku Botswana ku Gaborone.
Ku Botswana kuri sei ku Botswana?
Aiwa Botswana kuri raita ako ha ngora but kuri kupisa zuva isho mvura isho magoro.
Mvura isho. Yeah, gore rino kunenge kuri kunzi kuchadzoka El Nino. All right. Regai timbo bata bata nyaema yemitengo iyi muri kuzvionawo sei mamiriro akaita upfumi muZimbabwe.
Aiwa ndinoratidza kuti upfumi chinhu changa chigadzirika vakomana kana isu maZimbabweans tanga takabatana. Asi kuti problem ndeyekuti isu maZimbabweans we are too much divided. We hate each other. Even my elections either tinoita. It's like we go for elections so that we chase each other or we go after each other. Hatisi kuda kuita ma elections vamwe vanhu. If we could take elections like a game of football, yokuti iwo ukanditamba no game ukandimaka ukandiwisa nobva wandimutsa. That's fine. Isozo kuZimbabwe manje. It's like toita ma elections then we insult each other. It's like mukatasa mapolisi angagara ripo ava mugaba aya yakudhara. They were chasing away investors. Saka iko zvino izvi pakangota tikata my elections. Tata my elections. Pona mwe munhu anokomplaina kuti pabirwa paita se. Investors will not come, they will stay away and listen and watch and they wait until things are down or problems are down. So even nasi kuri kuti kwapinda ngatimboti chimwe chinhu chamufanira kuziva varume ndechokuti kana nhasi kukaiti MDC yapinda muhurumende. MDC yapinda muhurumende takanoivhotera hesi takakura mabasi tinoivhotera. Asi zvimwe zvinhu zvatoita tofana tinanzerere. Then taivhotika tisu nhasi tata maelex MDC kayahwina zviri official. Dzanivo ikazotanga kudi kukomplena kuti hapana kuhwina pakadai pakati ponda makoti constitutional court yatanga kuti MDC ndiye yakahwina. Asi ZANU-PF ramba achiti tavanozvigadzira mutungamiriri wedu weisusu. Zvezvatoita isu kuMDC zvezvazvo kuti no investor will come to us kana paine situation yakadaro achizoinvesta under such an environment. Saka zvinhu zviripo nezvokuti imwe nhamboka isokwanisa kuzvigokera moto muziso kutiti vanhu veZANU-PF vakabira maelections vabira maelections vamba tichinetsa katanetsa kuti mangwana ivo vachanetsawo futi. Saka zvati Zimbabwe haifi yakava right indo mwasa ngoti zvanga zviri right panoitwa maelections papai tamaitirei taita kuti zvinenge zvifambe zvakanaka kwete kuti izvozvi musateererai ndika ndiri kuno kukabo road nokuti ndikagwara ndiri kukabo road ndoda kuchipatara ndowana zvese ndovana everything but kuZimbabwe vanhu vanoona kune kolera vanhu vari kufa everything asi ndokudza chamisa kuti usahanza wakateerera chamisa what's that chamisa anofanira kushanda satsvangirai kana kuti satsvangirai akazviona neZANU-PF pa-2008 vanhu vakaunda vanga vafa. Nkoma akajana neZANU-PF after Bukula Hund because everyone kuti vanhu vari kusafa. Saka iye chamisa kuti audiwe navanhu vanhu vamurecognize semunhu anoda vanhu ngaainde kuti zvinhu zvifambe
endekana nezvakuti
muhurumende urivavamo mukati. It's better to be in than to be outside. Who would listen to what?
Tinotenda zvikuru Vasibanda. Nguva yedu ndo inenge yadyanana. Mr. Sibanda, of course, is saying that there is need for dialogue because Zimbabwe has a history of disputed elections and this is why there's a perennial crisis. But unfortunately, we have run out of time. We would have wanted to continue. So we want to take this opportunity to thank our guests this evening, Mr. Gilbert Mponda, an entrepreneur and investment banker and also a member of the ruling ZANU-PF party, Mr. Busisa Moyo, former president CZI, and also economic analyst, Mr. Rejoice Ngwenya. I am Blessing Zulu.
And I'm Kip Stube saying have a lovely weekend. Bye-bye.